Shalom Aleichem, Rabbeisai. Good evening. It's good to meet, even just sensing that we're together, if we can't see each other. Let's move along. Let's move along in this very great program of Hashem, introducing himself to us and creating the nation known as the Am Hashem, Am Yisrael. We're up to the point of the Haggadah after we described last night the process of Hashem moving it from his relationship to Avram Avinu, and then we discussed how Hashem took it on himself as a, so to speak, a divine project to take Avram Avinu's small family and breed it, turn it into the Am Hashem. And this was the divine plan, this was the divine project of the slavery in Mitzrayim, culminating with the Ten Makas, and Hashem taking us to him. Now we're up to the point of the Haggadah of Baruch Shem Havtachos Eli Yisrael. We thank Hashem for keeping his promise to the Jewish people. Because Hashem was planning the end of this process in the first place. Then we're going to move into expounding the psukim of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, of the servitude, and then of Hashem paying attention to their suffering and appearing in Mitzrayim and doing what he did. So there are three primary themes that are intertwined here, which we should pay attention to. We're not going to get into the details of the particulars, but let's pay attention to three primary themes at this point of the Haggadah. First of all, and this is something also very relevant to now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chishav, Baruch Shem Avtochos Eli Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chishav Lasos Es HaKetz Lasos. When Hashem brought the Jewish people into Mitzrayim, it was already with an eye on when can I end this? When can I end this? Hashem had to put them through a painful process. This painful process is what enabled them to become, was able to bring them to the very great heights that he envisioned for them. In his divine wisdom, he determined that this was the only way it could be achieved. But he was hurting with them. He was hurting with them. And in his mind's eye, kiviyachol, his eye was on the end. While he's putting them through it, his eye is on, okay, when can I end this? When can we consider the process finished? And note that it actually did end earlier. It ended earlier. It said 400 years, ended up being lemaisa 210 years in Mitzrayim, based on the various calculations of Al-Chazal say Hashem came up with different ways of reconfiguring it. So, I'll just note, in parentheses, that somebody once asked Reb Elchanan Wasserman, maybe the Chofetz Chaim, I think it was Reb Elchanan Wasserman, one of the two, that we say, we're supposed to be waiting every day for the arrival of Mashiach, but we're told that Eliyahu is not going to come on Erev Shabbos. So, on Erev Shabbos, how can you say that I'm waiting for him today? So the answer given was, by Rabbi Elchanan, he said, 1 minute, Hashem also said the Jewish people were going to be in servitude for 400 years. It ended up 210, and then we're provided with the explanations. He said, here also, I wait for him every day. It doesn't work with, we're told he's not going to come this time, not going to come that time. It can happen, and then afterwards we'll get the explanations. That's something to keep in mind now also. But back to the point. Right now, it's no different. We have to remember that when Hashem is putting us through something, so Chazal tell us that when a Jew is in pain, Shechina Marimeres, Kalani Meroishi, Kalani Mizroi. What does the Shechina say when a Jew is in pain? The Shechina is saying, my head is hurting. My arm is hurting. The Shechina is hurting along with us. Hashem knows what he's doing. He's working with a bird's eye view. And if we were to see what he sees in the future at the end of this process, what this is going to contribute, we would well appreciate the need for it. But that's one thing to keep conscious of. That Hashem is, he knows the pain. He's kiviyachol, so to speak, experiencing it along with us. And he is anticipating eagerly the point where he's going to end it. Now, we go on from Baruch HaMokoyim, and we move into the Vihisha Amda, right? The famous Vihisha Amda, where we say that in every generation they try to destroy us, and Hashem saves us from their hands. Once we were chosen as Hashem's people, we're moved into a different place from the rest of the world. There's the world at large, and there are the Jewish people. And built into the system of the world, the nature of the world, is opposition to the Jewish people, opposition to Hashem's people. Anti-Semitism, it's important to realize, is built into Hashem's plan for the world. That's why it's not just like there's a particular nation. They take turns. There's a rotation. If it's not this nation, it'll be that nation. They take turns. It's a force that moves from place to place. And as Chazal are pointing out to us here, we know it started already from the earliest of times. Lavan was already trying to eradicate the family of Yaakov, even though Yaakov didn't know it at the time. And we need Hashem to simply carry us through history. And here we note, as we move through the initial psukim following this, the first series of psukim that we expound following this, we talk about how the Yisrael uncannily prospered physically in Mitzrayim, even while they were being oppressed, and they should have been, naturally, they should have been diminishing, they should have been dwindling, they were just multiplying. This really reflects that reality, that yes, Hashem moves us through hostile territories, all throughout history this is true, but He's carrying us through it. He's carrying us through it. And this is what was going on there. Yes, the Egyptians' plan was to enslave them to the extent that they'll ultimately die out. And the more they pushed, the more they tried, the more the Jewish people just multiplied. Because, once again, this is Hashem divinely carrying them through it. This is something also to note as a very relevant piece of our history until now. The Chovis HaLevavos makes this point. The Kuzari talks about this, how to note that for 2,000 years, the Jewish people have been wandering from land to land, persecuted by the greatest of nations, defenseless. There's no nation that's been persecuted consistently by so many mighty opponents like the Jewish people. And we're here, while so many of those oppressors are on history shelves. The Chovis HaLevavos, the way he puts it is that if you want to see a miracle today of no less magnitude than the great Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of the Makas, of the splitting of the sea, he says you have to put a little thought into it, but you'll see it. You know where you'll see it? You'll see it by looking in the mirror. The fact that you can see a Jew today is a miracle of no less magnitude. And therefore, we are at the tail end of this process of Hashem miraculously carrying the Jewish people through history. And this is part of what we want to be experiencing at the Leil HaSeder. There's the world, and then there's us being moved along through the history of the world on a higher plane by Hashem. They might beat us, we might suffer, there might be tragedies along the way, but when you fast forward another 100 years, another 200 years, 500 years, 1,000 years, is the enemies, the oppressors, who were so mighty at the time and who ruled the world at the time are gone, and we're still here. So that's really theme number one, the way the Jewish people developed and multiplied in Mitzrayim, which is once again reflective of our history in general. It's Hashem moving His people through history. Then we have the descriptions of the affliction itself. And this is a very important part of the theme of the Seder night, because this goes back to the structure the Chazal laid out that we mentioned yesterday of Poischim Bignus u'Mesayim Bishvach, that we begin, we begin with our lowly state and then work our way up to our great state. Meaning we don't open the Seder by saying, Hashem took us to be his nation and look how glorious that is. We start from the lowly state. Yesterday we discussed the first layer of the lowly state and the fact that our ancestors were idolaters just like everybody else. And today, the next stage in the Haggadah is the lowly state as slaves in Mitzrayim. And we discuss that. We touch on all the details of the different forms of suffering. And the point of this is, in order to really be able to appreciate what it means to be free. If you just come and tell a person, you know, it's great to be free. Okay, yeah, it's great to be free. But you'll only really appreciate that if you can really picture servitude, slavery, suffering, oppression. Otherwise, what does being free mean? Being free means boring life. Well, the normal drudgery of our lives. What's so glorious about that? You know what's so glorious about that? You ask somebody who's languishing in jail for years what's so glorious about that, he'll say, oh, what I would give for a boring day of life. So when we talk about the fact that we're B'nai Chayrin, in order to really appreciate that, we have to contrast it. This is a very famous concept. The Sfarim referred to it as Yediyas HaFochim Achas. In order to really appreciate something, you have to focus on the extreme opposite. If you want to bring out a white color, you'll put it against a black background. So this is what we do. We want to really focus, and this is also the theme of the Maror. We want to really focus on the bitterness. We want to really picture what it means to be oppressed in this way, to be living in these conditions. Try to picture a baby that you know. If it's your child, if it's your grandchild, if it's a different family relative, picture a baby that you know. And try to picture the scene of the big thugs bursting through the door, grabbing that baby, tossing it onto a wagon, and then going to the river and tossing it in. Don't just picture it in terms of the theoretical babies back then who we never knew. Think of a baby that you know and experience the horror, experience the heartbreak, and try to think of what it means that families cannot be together, that they are being the pressure of being worked from morning to evening and knowing when you begin the day that you have no chance of meeting the quota unless you mamish push yourself by the skin of your teeth, and there's no time for family and there's no time for anything else, and it's just morning to evening backbreaking labor, and that's all you have to look forward to really try to get into this state and to picture it. And the more we can do this, the more we can appreciate what it means to actually be free, what it means that Hashem actually took us out, and that we are today who we are. And then the next stage of it is, Hashem, where the psukim begin describing how Hashem took careful note of every aspect of suffering. Vayaras anyeinu ve'samaleinu ve'slachatzeinu. Hashem was taking note of the stress, besides just the suffering of the slavery, the unbearable pressure that they had to work so fast to be keeping up with the quota. Hashem took note of how it affected family life. Plishus derech eretz, the husbands and wives could not be together. Amaleinu ela banim, the children. All of these things Hashem was carefully noting. And this is back to the point that we started with. The understanding that Hashem was hurting together with us then. And this is what was represented in the Sneh, when Moshe saw the burning bush. It was Hashem, so to speak, saying, I am living right now in a thorn bush, along with the rest of you. And in fact, it's a very beautiful Or HaChaim where Hashem has his discussion with Moshe Rabbeinu, trying to get Moshe Rabbeinu to agree to go take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. And it's a long discussion, right? There's back and forth, and Moshe doesn't want to accept the job. And then at one point, in the middle of the discussion, Hashem says the words, Va'ata zakaz bnei Yisrael bo'o elai. Now, the cry of the Jewish people is coming to me. In the middle of the discussion, that pops up. Now, the cry of the Jewish people is coming to me. So you know what the Aron HaChaim says? It says Hashem, what Hashem meant to say was, he said, another Jew just cried out. It was as though like in the middle of the conversation, so to speak, Kiviyocho, Hashem jumped and said, another Jew just got hurt. That's what he's expressing to Moshe. Appreciate the urgency here. I'm telling you to go. We don't have time to be standing and arguing. Look, another Jew just got hurt. Another Jew just cried out to me. You got to move. You have to move. So these are the three things that we are stressing at this point in terms of the Jewish people actually living in Mitzrayim, going through the slavery in Mitzrayim. We're stressing their supernatural prosperity there in terms of multiplying while they're being oppressed. We're actually stressing the affliction. We want to try to connect to the suffering and experience it to the extent that we can in order to appreciate what it means to be free. And we also want to put that focus on Hashem being there with us. Hashem, so to speak, suffering with us. And here, you know, we refer back to that famous mashal that comes from a non-Jewish source, but it actually holds a very, very good chush of a point. Probably familiar, but that famous little mashal of the person who saw his life laid out as footprints along a beach. And throughout most of his life, he saw that there were two sets of footprints. And he understood that the second set of footprints was Hashem, was the Lord walking along with him. And then he noticed that at the difficult legs of his life, there was only one set. So in his superficial understanding, he looked up and he said, how come you left me by myself at those points? And the response that he got was, no, you're misunderstanding what you're seeing. The one set of footprints there are not yours. The one set of footprints there are mine. At those times, I lifted you up and I was carrying you. Again, this is a mashal from a non-Jewish source, but it holds a lot of truth. It holds a lot of truth. This is what's being expressed in the Haggadah in Mitzrayim, and this is something that we should be focusing on now also. Hashem is with us in it. Hashem right now has his eye on the end. Like we said, Chishev Lasos HaKeitz, he has his eye on the end. He's focused on the end point and anticipating it eagerly. When can I bring it to that stage? And Be'ezras Hashem, we hope that will still be yet before Pesach, and we'll be able to see this culminate in the full Geula, Benisan Nigalu, or Benisan Asidin Ligor, we hope. B'mheira b'yameinu, amen. We'll end the recording now and then unmute.